Welcome to Shoulda Said, a podcast that combines a stand-up comedy joke jam with an improvised scene based on the ideas that come up in that stand-up comedy. In it, you'll hear aspiring comedians try out their bits and premises on other aspiring comedians, and then they'll get suggestions and feedback on their ideas. At the end, we'll explore the ideas even more by making up a scene based on things we hear in that comedy, right on the spot, and we take off the training wheels entirely. Shoulda Said is hosted by Brooke Confers and me, Joe Drew, and features a rotating cast of regulars. It's based on ideas that we stole shamelessly from the podcast Working It Out and Hey Riddle Riddle. This is episode 3 of Shoulda Said, and it's a little different from the ones that came before it. This episode sort of blurs the line between comedy and therapy, which is honestly when comedy is at its best. Without further ado, episode 3 of Shoulda Said. We hope you enjoy it. That's right for the picking. I wouldn't do you like that. Same could chicken. Welcome back to Shoulda Said. I'm Joe Drew, and all I want to do is have some fun. I've got a feeling that I'm not the only one.
Are we rhyming our intros? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, doctor.
My name's did that rhyme? Converse. Yes.
It rhymed because it's a lyric.
Oh.
From a Sheryl Crow, a really famous Sheryl Crow song.
Yeah, it was a reference. All I wanna do.
I think it was because you weren't singing it. Could you sing it?
And yeah, then sing I might it, get Joe. It, Joe. Can
all
you sing?
All I wanna do is have some fun. I got a feeling that I'm not the only one. That's a song about being in a bar, and she came out like after that album and was like, oh yeah, I was not well. I'm very bad. I have alcoholism
bad. Yeah, she's a real alcoholic.
Yeah. So anyway, that's a song about...
You really linearly increased in... So anyway, your comfortability and performance of that, it was fun to witness. You got into it. You were shy at first, and then you...
It sounded great.
I'm Brooke Converse, and I like a good beer buzz in the morning.
In the morning?
Isn't that also
Is it truth or is it fiction?
Fuck! Isn't that also a
like
show
a shower line? Beer?
That is no. That's
another line for the goddamn song, you dum-dums.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, you are dumb.
I'm just the baby.
I'm just a widow baby. You know
I have
first...
no money.
I don't know.
Wait, yeah. Have you seen the Broad City episode?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh. Have I? I am Abby. It's actually
please
terrifying.
Introduce yourself, Sarah, and add another Sheryl Crow lyric from the seminal work that is
cry for help.
Oh, she's fine.
You know your name, I'm quite sure.
Yeah, I'm Sarah Edwards, and I do know this song, but without singing it all the way through, I don't think I can actually tag
like the
along.
Alphabet, you need to like start from the
exactly
beginning.
Exactly that. Yeah.
What's the fourth letter of the alphabet?
D.
Well done.
Right on.
All right, moving on.
I'm Forrest Olson, and I cried a lot this week.
Yeah. That's the energy that Forrest is planning on bringing to this
Yeah, world. Exactly. Yeah. I know. Straight white men have feelings
solemn.
Too, okay?
I'm taking notes right now.
I'll pick you up late at night after work. I said, lady, step inside my Hyundai.
Who would like to start us off with a bit?
You guys don't know this, but I'm getting the eyes, so...
Yeah, Forrest's ready to go.
So I'm gonna do, like, the longer form of this. Ooh. It's kind of... It's not kind of... Yeah, I'm just gonna
is
do it.
Is it Forrest
it's
long, take, or
it's
is
probably
it
gonna
Joe
take,
long?
It's probably gonna take about...
is that rude?
It's probably gonna take about 2 minutes.
That's fine.
It's Forrest long. And I fully want... And I want feedback on, like, where things can be cut.
Should you pause at times, or do you want us to hear the whole thing?
Sometimes Yeah. Yeah, we can.
Okay, so you're not pitching a premise, you're going to do your joke, which is fine. I'm just...
Well, yeah. Great. Yes. So, great. Buckle up. I had a friend who went on vacation recently and was posting a bunch of nice, girly, peaceful pictures of her, you know, like reading in nature on her Instagram stories. One in particular was a very sweet and wholesome little self-care selfie. So I'm going to paint the picture for you. She's got pigtail braids, very high angle, 0.5 lens. The Gen Z's will know about that one. Eyes closed, sun illuminating, you know, her like happy little face. And she's like looking up kind of diagonally from the and away from the camera. And she's got a book with a hot pink cover placed on her lap. The title clear, A Court of Thorns and Roses. Okay, so if any of you are not laughing, you're obviously not familiar with what this series is about. It's fairy smut. Like the books are fantasy novels. Like they contain more than just... fairy dicks, but they're fantasy novels about war and classism, interracial relationships, trauma, but they're mostly horny, horny smut books with whole paragraph descriptions of fairy cocks and sentences like, I took in the length of him, discovering with each thrust that I desired him evermore, despite being his captive. So this is like a paragraph pause, if you guys would like to. That's the beginning.
Whoa. Have you read any of
I mean, I've read like excerpts from
her. You have to read it.
The more specific it's going to be. Yeah.
Yeah, you need to read it.
I don't have time.
Like, listen to the audio.
Oh, you got time.
Well, I mean, okay. Yeah, I'm gonna keep reading, actually, because this plays
going,
into
keep
it.
Going, yeah.
Okay. So I'm very close with this friend, and she actually had the third in the series on her lap. And those are 800-page books, and I know for a fact she started reading them 3 weeks ago. So she's been absolutely pounding fantasy smut for 3 weeks straight at a little over 100 pages a day.
Are you talking about me?
No.
Oh, okay.
And she's just...
Because I did that.
And she's just posting the title of this book so clearly to her public story. I'm like, girl, these are dick pics being posted to your public story. You're out here getting horny in the woods and letting everyone know, including your mom, after she read me some of the best parts of the book, quote, quote, and I had to look up the offer. You know, it felt similar to when someone cuts you off in traffic and you got to see their fucking face, you know? if you pull up next to them at the light. And so I looked up the author, and she's like a pale-faced blonde woman who looks constantly flushed and has those deep and piercing, quote, formerly of faith eyes. You know, the ones where, you know, something about them just suggests she once was beholden to religion, but is no longer and is so horny about it. It's always in the eyes. I checked her Wikipedia page, and she was apparently adopted. Of course she was. You know, I'm a child of divorce. My mom died of cancer. I look up some freaky shit on the internet and have a very active imagination. I had to. I don't know. I don't land. That's it. Like, I don't necessarily land the plane. I love the fact that she's adopted. I think that tracks so well that she's like a prolific fairy smut writer.
Okay. Does anyone have some feedback for Forrest?
I think you should change adopted to child of divorce.
Why?
Because I think adopted strikes a nerve a little too much.
Yeah.
We all went...
Yeah. I just feel like you need to, like, win
I think, like, if it's... I feel like I'm relying on adopted to have, like, shock value. Mm. That's in the intention. And, like, the sentiment underlying this joke is that, like, when you've experienced... Like, of course you would have an active imagination and... And, like, of course you would, like, create something like this if you've, like, been through
it. No, I get what you're doing.
Like,
yeah. It's funny. Like, that is funny. I'm just trying to think of how...
So what... You tried to hit us with adopted. What if you started out with, I'm a child of divorce. Maybe you do the cancer.
I'm a child of divorce. I look up cartoon porn sometimes.
Yeah.
Guess who was adopted?
Yeah,
this
yeah,
author.
Switch
it. I think you need more like self-deprecation.
It was too abrupt.
You need examples
like,
and then bring us
soften
along.
It by presenting myself
I relate to this.
As a relatable.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Coming for this book series, there's a lot of people that have read it. And
people are
very diehard. There's like tons
I know,
of
but
memes.
That's so funny. Like,
No, I'm not people, saying it's like, not funny. I'm just like, there's tons of memes already making fun of it on Instagram. Mm. There's so much, like, ACOTAR's been mined.
Well, it's one of the most popular books right now.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's
so there's tons of, like, making fun of that genre already out there. So it's like a different take to hear a dude do it. I just think you're threading a very interesting needle because so many women are already kind of like taking the piss out of it in a way that's like we're all kind of like.
I mean, like I remember. Sorry. Finish what you're saying.
No. It's okay.
I remember when I was in high school and like 50 Shades of Grey came out.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a piece of shit.
What'd you say?
It's a piece of shit.
It's a piece of shit.
It's
yeah, but it was like
connoisseur over here.
Yeah. But like, I feel like it's one. I feel like it's one of those
when it comes to this stuff.
Well, I feel like it's one of those things where I don't know. Was it considered groundbreaking, or at least like I don't know? It was like It was like, you know, it paved the way.
Yeah,
it's because Lonely Housewives got a hold of it.
Yeah.
Well, that was my experience. So I went to private Catholic high school and I wasn't a rich kid, but like I was around a lot of rich kids and I got to like go, like they would invite me to the country club and be at the pool and I would see the mothers and the nannies all laying, you know, one leg extended, one leg bent, and they're like one piece bikinis,
just all
like
horned up.
Yeah, yeah. And people all of them reading 50 yeah. Shades of Grey.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, this is a funny phenomenon.
No, it's a phenomenon.
Like, it was. Everybody's
like, and that's like, there's something so, I feel like there's also something that's very, very funny about like the way, like how comfortable women are with like their sexuality in public, especially with something like a book. You know what I mean?
Because books
are associated with like being cultured, and it's like a playing with that, and it's like hiding behind a traditionally culturally enriching activity. And like,
but you're
my
just
friend,
reading porn. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And you're reading it, you know? Like, yeah.
There's a Friends episode,
some new words,
where the girls are all reading like a smut novel, and Joey, you should watch it because it like might, I
don't
know.
Is it this premise essentially?
It's a little bit this premise, but yeah, he's like, you're reading porn, and like it becomes a bit. Like it's like this whole thing throughout the whole show where they're like, it's smarter than that, you know?
Yeah. I try to also like relate to that. Like I understand that the book has more going on. And
for sure, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you say the war bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, yeah, so
I haven't read it, so I feel like, Brooke, you're the one that has the most like context.
Yeah, I think it's just a challenge because it is so popular and you just need to like win over people first or have read it. I think if you had read it, then you could be like, I read it. So I've been through the trenches with you. I don't know why men have read it.
You could also just say you read it.
Yeah.
I read the Cliff Notes of it.
I would rather present myself as having not read it, but like fully aware of what it is. I've watched Bridgerton. I've watched Outlander.
I think,
you know,
there's
I mean?
The
like,
funny.
I'm
like, I don't need
with,
to read.
I'm familiar
it.
With
I don't
things
need
that
to
are
read
oriented
it.
Towards you should female sexuality.
Add something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I've read. Yeah. I don't need to read it. I've watched.
I don't need
Bridgerton.
To read it. Yeah. That's like funny. I've watched. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, again, like
Bridgerton was delicious.
I mean, it just depends on what angle are you trying
and
to look like. A bit of a like.
Yeah.
Like what? Who are you?
No,
trying
no, no. This is no. Please tell me what it appears as.
Kind of like, if you don't care what the audience thinks of you, then you know what I mean? Like if you're trying to win the audience over.
Of course I want
to
win the
is
audience
it coming
over.
Off to you as like mansplaining? Is
yeah,
that
a
what
bit,
you're getting?
A bit.
Oh, okay.
A bit. Yeah, or just good. A bit like I would think it would be helpful to have read it if you really like you'd be like, hey, I've read this.
I can
shit talk this. It's like that. It's so precious to some people. Mm-hmm. Like people are not me. I don't give a fuck. Like it's true. It's terrible.
Sure. Yeah.
But whatever. Like a lot of people are like, it's spurred a lot. There's like coloring books and there's like tons of people that are like down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
So I think being like a cis white man talking about it,
because
none of us know a guy that's read it. If you were like, but I read it. And it sucks. Right. That'd be a funny take. Or I didn't read it, but I watched Bridgerton.
I'm gonna add
otherwise,
okay.
You're just like shitting on something that women like.
Which is like, boy.
But like, I'm not shitting. I mean, I'm not like shitting on it. I'm like, I'm talking about how funny. Like, I'm trying to.
She's like boldly reading porn on her Instagram.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, that is funny.
Yes,
that
yeah.
is, yeah.
And like posting it, and like posting it as like a like.
Right. You wouldn't post like a picture of yourself watching porn. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, like on my balcony. I'm like, ooh, like jerked off outside today.
Totally so. Fair. That's the angle.
That why
that's,
not
that's
do that?
Angle.
Yeah,
that's a good,
there's
that's
a good, comparison.
That's a
good
punchline.
Yeah. Tricky though, because like females have been told to like repress their sexuality and be demure and whatever. So like I think it's bold to be like, I don't give a fuck, I'm reading the smut. Like
I know,
I
but
like,
that also is a right. double standard. Like I understand that that's like fraught with like men being aggressive. And actually I listened to a really interesting episode of Blocks today, like Blocks, the new Blocks podcast with Neil Brennan. Dan Ooh. Harmon was on it.
Oh,
and he talks about his like whole sexual assault scenario where it was Louis C.K. esque, but he essentially like crushed hard on this like writer.
I know the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Megan
yeah.
something.
Yeah. 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 Megan's Megan something.
Megan Gant.
Megan Gant. Yes.
Okay, yeah.
And he wrote like a really in-depth and like thoughtful apology that she like fully accepted and then like supported. Holy.
And then he still was getting dragged. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't even trying to take that angle on it. Like it was just
that's a whole other conversation.
It was just very interesting to. Yeah,
I'd like to see. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you have a man apologizing for. Oh my god.
I need to listen to that. Neil Brennan's awesome.
It's
a really good podcast.
So, it occurs to me that maybe starting out with the, like, so I was jerking off on my balcony the other day, and then for some reason people got pissed off, and then like use that as the this is the comparison that you're making though, right? Like,
I guess, yeah.
Or even just acknowledging, like, yeah, I wouldn't post a picture of myself like rock hard.
Yeah, like it's a benefit to women to not get like hard in their pants. You know what I mean? Like,
sure, they're posting their legs and like crotch, and like it's fine. But you couldn't do that.
Yeah. I can't be like, oh my God, look at, like, just saw this very beautiful woman reading at this cafe, and it got
okay.
Me
now that's
so
giving odd. Like yeah, that, the that, show you,
which I refuse to watch. That show.
I also
like
haven't watched it. It's freaky deaky.
I mean,
Oh, he's hot.
Yeah,
but that's why I don't want to watch it, because I don't want to watch a hot guy be creepy.
Okay, how's this? I don't like this sentence.
I like how we're typing real time.
Can we're working.
Am I picking this up?
That's why we get them. Well, I have a show.
I think we need a scene soon, though.
I haven't read the book. So I like blah, 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 blah. The book, book with a hot pink cover placed on lap, the title clear, A Court of Thorns and Roses. I haven't read the book, but I've watched Bridgerton. And Outlander. And I understand media oriented toward the typical female sexuality.
I feel like you need one more example there, too.
Yeah, you need rule of threes. Yeah.
What's the third one? Bridgerton, like, what is
Bridgerton, Outlander.
But like, those
then
are the
where do you go?
Watched.
You need something else.
The third one doesn't have to be real.
Yeah, third one needs to be left field for sure.
Grey's Anatomy's two on the nose.
Oh, what's a funny and Bridesmaids? Or like,
No. You need something like grounded.
Or like something animated?
What's
the... Oh.
Like...
Powderpuff Girls?
No, Broad City's also two on the nose.
No. Yeah, you need something totally...
Powerpuff Girls is too juvenile, I think. Yeah. It needs to be like in the middle. So, like Tuca and Birdie, but not enough people will know that.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Like BoJack? Don't. No.
No.
Kind of. I mean, Will Arnett would fuck.
Arrested Development?
No, I think it needs to not be a comedy.
I think that, like, yeah, like, what are...
What does Outlander... Like, Outlander
and
Bridgerton...
Or something that's sexless. Like, what's something women like to watch that's, like, completely sexless?
Oh, like the Great Baking Challenge or something?
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Great British Bake Off.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
So? Yeah, I think so.
Or a Princess Bride?
Yeah.
No, that's really sexy and romantic. Oh, my God.
What about Emily in Paris? Is that...
No, I've not.
I don't think enough people care about that.
I also think
nobody cares.
I think boring people actually find Emily in Paris like hot and sexy. You know what I mean? Like, they love it.
Yeah.
I'm very sorry to my listeners who think that Emily in Paris is really hot and sexy.
Oh, who cares?
Because honestly, it means you're boring.
Sorry.
So I have another tag I can add to the, like, Bridgerton thing, because I remember feeling this way after watching it.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, like, we had a TV channel in Slack at my old work, and I found, like, people gushing about liking Bridgerton to be like, all, like, within the
you're
same
just
realm
furiously
this,
masturbating.
Yeah, like, within the same realm of this joke, you know, like, just like, so
I feel like you can literally, like, do your laundry, do your taxes, like, make dinner while Bridgerton's happening, and like still just enjoy. Like, you don't need to
it's
sit down.
It's a horned
and,
up show.
It's just horny. You just like look up and like, are they fucking cool? And then go back to like being productive.
I honestly, Brooke, this is like, I feel like of only you in this group would have this perspective based on how much you claim to consume smut material.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, it's not nearly hardcore
it's
enough.
It's not that hot.
No, I mean, it's just like...
There's way too much buildup. Like, I get wet. Yeah. I get wet.
Yeah. Get just to book. It. Yeah. Exactly.
That's so fast.
Have you ever read anything where a creature has two dicks and you get it both ways?
Yes.
Yeah, you have, recently. Haven't you?
Really recently.
Was it the genie in Aladdin?
Yeah. No. Oh, it was like
Do they make, like, strap-ons for dudes to have two dicks?
They do.
Like,
absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Is it set underneath or on top of...
You get to choose.
You can switch around.
There's room.
Depends on what hole you want where.
Oh, yeah. Which hole do you want to
feel? Yeah.
Yeah. These strap-ons don't have nerves.
It's just for her pleasure.
Okay, so we've really diverged.
So do we have a scene in anywhere? Or do we, how have we done with breaking down your
guitar? So I guess, like, how did we feel about the structure? How did we... I guess other areas that you think are, like, not important or, like, could be cut.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, like.
It's hard when we're this
far. All of it.
I can.
No, I don't mean like that.
It's good. It's got legs.
I think the core premise is good. I think that like with the punch ups that we've done, it's another pass will show us what needs to be cut and what doesn't.
Can we do that?
Sure. I feel like finding more ways to like relate to your own life examples as opposed to shitting on the not that, like
you're
as opposed
to
like relating
thank
more.
Thank you, Brooke, for choosing another version of that sentence.
I just mean like you're kind of like you're coming on to like the series and that's fine. Like it's funny. Like instead, but like I feel like there was more of you in it.
Yeah,
we could understand more of your perspective, like more of you bringing us onto your side as to why you like. I don't know if okay. I understood.
Can we go through
sure.
it again?
Yeah. Let's do it once more.
One more. Okay. So, friend who went on a vacation recently was posting a bunch of, you know, everyone's familiar with these nice, girly, peaceful picture selfies of her reading in nature. One in particular was a sweet and wholesome little self-care selfie. So I'll paint the picture. She's got pigtail braids. High angle, 0.5 lens, eyes closed, looking away from the camera, sun illuminating her happy little face, and a book with a hot pink cover placed very delicately on the lap, the title clear, A Court of Thorns and Roses. Now, I haven't read this book, but I've watched Bridgerton and Outlander and Great British Bake Off, and I understand media oriented toward the typical female sexuality. This book, for those of you that are not familiar, is essentially fairy smut. It contains other things. It's a fantasy novel about war and classism, interracial relationships, trauma, consent. But it's mostly a horny, horny smut book with whole paragraph descriptions of fairy dicks and sentences like, I took in the length of him, discovering with each thrust that I desired him ever more, despite being his captive. Now, I'm close with this friend that posted this, and she had the third in the series in her lap, and she's been telling me about this series for 3 weeks, and those are 800-page books. So that means she's been absolutely pounding fairy smut for 3 weeks straight at a little over 100 pages a day, and she's just posting the title of the book so clearly to her public story. I'm like, girl, these are dick pics being posted to your public story. You're out here getting horny in the woods and letting everyone know, including your mom. And after she read me some of the best parts of the book, I had to look up the author. Like, it's like, you know, when someone cuts you off in traffic and then you meet them at the red light, you gotta see their fucking face, you know? And this woman, she's a pale-faced blonde who looks constantly flushed, and has those deep and piercing, you know, like formerly of faith eyes. You know, you've probably met someone like this. Something about them suggests they were once beholden to religion, but no longer, and are so horny about it. So, I'm a child of divorce. I look up cartoon porn from time to time. I understand, you know, like trauma breeds weird interests, especially with sex. And I'm sure you guys could have guessed that the writer of a prolific smut series like this happened to be adopted. Believe it or not. I don't know. That's not a good punch.
No, there's a there's a better way to do that.
There's a better way to end it. But I do think that, like, that I agree. I like me bringing in the element of me that relates to this.
Yeah.
I think that was good.
I actually have a suggestion specifically for that. So you're talking about, like, you're just posting it like it's like a dick pic. You talked a little bit ago about, like, how there's a double standard. You are not allowed to post, like, a picture of your legs with, like, you know, Tara Reid in the corner pounding some dude. Or whatever.
Tara Reid.
I don't know that one.
Deep cut.
It's okay, American Pie.
Stormy Daniels.
Nope, still too old. Also old reference. I feel like it needs to be like Mia Khalifa or something.
All right, that's fine. Okay, also kind of an old reference at this point.
I will own my age. But the comparison there, right? Like, I felt the tension of like, she's allowed to post this because it's like, you know, she's owning her sexuality. reality. Mm-hmm. But if I, a white dude, posted it, I posted something, you know, maybe even...
Yeah, like, I can't post my bulge after watching, like, what would be, like, a funny thing for me to be watching that would be...
Oh, God.
Non-sexual thing? Or
semi-sexual. Something where, like, sexuality, like, I feel like creeps into it, but it's otherwise that wasn't the intention.
Ooh, you could do, like, Lola Bunny in Space Jam.
Yeah. That's perfect. Yeah.
Relatable.
Or even Jessica Rabbit, right? Like,
Yeah.
Depending on the age of you.
True.
You young.
True.
I'm not allowed to post my bulge after watching.
Bulge is so aggressive.
I feel like that honestly could be a tag, right? Like, if I was, it has to be harder. Yeah.
Hear this. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, girl, these are essentially dick pics being posted to your public story, okay? Double standard. I'm not allowed to post my bulge after watching Lola Bunny and Space Jam. You're out here getting horny in the woods and letting everyone know, including your mom.
Yeah, there's something there. I'm stuck on it, unfortunately. I feel like if it were slightly... harder core than Lola Bunny, like, you know, maybe you're just watching furry stuff or whatever. It doesn't matter.
But
I feel like Lola Bunny.
I think it has to be something that's like in pop culture.
People get because that's a lot of. Well, like,
I can't be like just watch the green M&M commercial.
Oh,
with the old shoes.
A lot of people in their like late 20s, early 30s, like their sexual awakening was Lola Bunny and Space Jam. Okay. Like that was.
That's fair.
Or like Judy Hopps.
Mine was.
Like just some sort of like Megan cartoon.
Fox. Like I watched Transformers 1 and Megan Fox fixing the motorcycle.
Yeah.
But it's totally fine for somebody to post themselves watching that, right? Like,
The
bulge part is the thing.
That's the thing. That's why I think the bulge has
to
be
more
a
shameful.
Tag.
Oh, you're like, bulge maybe, you know?
Something more shameful than Lola Bunny.
So like, I couldn't show myself in fact, maybe it's exactly the same. If I posted the same picture with my legs just out in the sun and whatever the name of this thing is.
Space Jam.
No, 50 Shades of Grey.
Like ACOTAR.
Yeah, exactly.
ACOTAR, yeah.
ACOTAR?
It's called A Court of Thorn and Roses.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not up on the ACOTAR. Lingo.
Yeah.
If I posted the same thing, everyone would be like railing on me in my DMs. And it wouldn't just be because you could see the outline of my dick in my shorts. That's the double standard, right? Like, that's the comparison. I think that's the funny.
Yeah.
I agree. Like, honestly, if I just paint the same picture and I'm like, if I post, like, I can't read a horny book publicly. And then post a high angle photo of myself because you would see the outline of my dick.
That's better. Oh, that's so good.
That's way better.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. That's really funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brooks, what are you?
You're not vibing it.
No.
Everybody's got to get offended by the joke, and if anyone was going to be offended by it, I think it was going to be.
I'm not offended.
Okay.
No, I just like. No, if I say what I am, it's going to be really
good. Yeah, do it.
I think maybe at the beginning you could shave off some of the description of the girl because I think you spend a little too much time and it like doesn't make me like you as much.
Yeah, it makes you sound like you hate her.
Yeah, it does. You sound like you hate this girl.
I know.
And you don't sound like she's your best friend at all. You sound like it's
a joke you could make to her and it would be
fucking
hilarious.
But like, we don't know your relationship.
But the audience will be like hearing
it.
Dragging on this woman.
Like the description about her pigtail braids and the high
angle. I don't think you need as much description.
You had too much description.
Just like, I feel
high angle's funny.
I feel like high angle 0.5.
0.5 is funny.
Don't know if you
need
I don't think you need to paint
the whole picture.
I think you're painting too much picture.
You literally could
three things.
It sounds...
High angle 0.5, looking away.
You don't have to do the braids.
The braids are...
smiley face and the thing.
The braids are problematic.
Because it sounds almost condescending.
It does.
Her smiley little face. Even though I know you mean it to be endearing.
Yes. That's good.
Which is like, you know, how we all get with our bits, right? When you're close to it, this is your best friend, or like friends. Like,
and she would find it funny. So
of course.
I literally sent her a recording of what I proposed to you guys, and she was like, I love it.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah.
This is about her.
Yeah.
Should have said. Yeah.
you want to play out like a smut? Do like a smut thing?
I think.
Yeah, how are we going to navigate this?
What I want is a like book club.
Okay.
You're all discussing a, let's call it a fairy smut book.
Yeah.
But none of you have read it. And but none of you want to admit that you haven't read it, but you all...
So, but you all you, know.
You started it and you didn't like it, but you just were like, oh, everyone else is going to like it, so I have to pretend to like it. So you're disgusting.
Is this the experience of being a woman? I've always thought this is the experience of being a woman.
Well, now you're going to get it, baby. So you're in a book club. You're a bunch of ladies discussing this book, this smutty book that you all agreed to read, and none of you have read it.
Mm.
And go.
Sandra, what'd you think of the first couple of pages? I really loved how she laid the scene of just like the wind going through the leaves and the sun dappling down upon his bulging buttocks.
Yeah, that was what I got from the first couple pages for sure, is the bulging buttocks. And
So bulging.
And I thought it was really poetic the way she wrote about light and how it hits buttocks is...
Yeah, oh, yeah, especially, a man's butt, they've always got that little dimple, you know, little dimple on the sides.
Oh, I love the left dimple. Mm. The right dimple is not really my thing, but the left dimple, oh.
If I had a criticism for this book, not enough dimples. I think that's fair, you know, I mean, I read all 800 pages.
Oh, I couldn't put it down.
Yeah, and not enough dimples. That's my main takeaway, and you know the war and the things and it was very, very
so progressive. This book, so progressive.
Interracial relationships. I mean, it was beautiful.
I couldn't believe it. I
interspecies.
Gorgeous, wonderful. Gorgeous. I love it. Yeah, no, it was. It might be my favorite book ever.
Deborah, what did you think of on the 10th page when Sir Galahad just grabbed her and pulled her into his rippling chest and said, "Baby, you're never going to be danger again."
It melted me.
I melted too.
Yeah, you know, like, melted.
Yeah, I felt it in my loins.
My loins were tingling. They tingled a lot. It made me really scared.
Barbara, should we talk about this?
I'm scared.
What are you so scared, Barbara?
My priest told me it's not okay.
See, yeah, this is the type of book you don't bring to your priest, Barbara. What were you thinking?
But his homilies are so boring.
Were you reading this in church?
I don't have free time, except for during that 10-minute stretch when he goes on and on about how I'm going to burn in the fires of hell for masturbating in the middle of Mass.
You know, Barbara, Indigo sells vibrators now, which means Christian people can use vibrators.
That is what that means. Jesus himself has condoned it.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
I think you need to find a new church.
Indigo, Inri, Indigo is my savior.
I think that's the moral of this
and
story.
And scene.
Like I said, episode 3 of Shoulda Said's a little different from the ones that came before it. We are actually lucky enough to have the full recording of Forrest's Soft Boys Present Way Backyard Show set. Forrest combined the feedback that we gave him on Shoulda Said with feedback we gave him over WhatsApp, some stuff that he got from friends, and just his own good comedy senses. This is a little different from what we've done before, but I think it's worth it. Without further ado, Forrest Olsen doing a set during the Way Backyard Show presented by Soft Boys Presents. I'm gonna take you up to Glendale.
Yeah. Get nice and loud. Get really excited for Forrest Olsen.
Really botched the nooks. You're always supposed to give the nooks on the way up. Thank you, Chris. Yeah, so a bit about me. My best friend is a girl. Woo. I know, shocking, considering this whole, like, bejeweled fuckboy look I've got going on. You know, if you, you know, like, if you buy me a new accessory, maybe I'll call you back, you know? But she recently went on vacation, and while she was there, she was taking a lot of, you know, like, hashtag self-care selfies of, like, her reading in nature. And one in particular caught my eye. It was at a high angle, 0.5 lens. Those of us with Gen Z children or who are Gen Z or Gen Z friends are familiar. Looking away and like a book very like intently placed on the lap with the title clear, A Court of Thorns and Roses. Mm-hmm. Some of us know. For those of us that don't, it's a fantasy series that covers like very complex and important topics like war and classism and interracial relationships and consent and trauma, all very important topics. But most importantly, fairy dicks. So many fairy dicks. And getting fucked by fairy dicks like in the face and getting fucked by fairy dicks from behind and initially not really wanting to be fucked by fairy dicks because you were a prisoner in fairyland. But slowly over time and many, many fairy dicks in, discovering that maybe you don't mind fairy dicks and don't mind fairyland, and maybe these fairy dicks are better than any human dick you've ever had, and maybe, just maybe, you're starting to understand what love is, and maybe, okay, all right, I'll stay in fairyland and become a fairy myself, and then riding that high, maybe I, the reader, deserve to be fucked by fairy dicks? And maybe I, the reader, should act on this energy in some way. What could I do? I know, I'll post about it on my story for all of my friends and mother to see that I am getting horny in the woods. And like, smut literature is essentially like wears its book cover like a trench coat. You know what I mean? Like, you see a man in a trench coat, if you're a naive person, perhaps, you see a man in a trench coat, and you're like, they must be hiding such cool outfits under that trench, all that coat. You know? And then they come up to you, and they open their coat, and you're like, oh, that's just a lot of skin and dick. Holy shit, there we go. Yeah, like, it being a book makes it, like, appear to be culturally enriching. So, like, somebody, like, you see a friend who's reading a book, and you're like, oh, that's a cultured person. Maybe I should read the book that they're reading. And then you go and purchase it. A Court of Thorns and Roses is what it's called, everyone. You go and purchase it, and then you open it up, and it's just like, dicks, 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 dicks. So many dicks. And maybe if this isn't obvious, I haven't read the book. But I checked the Spark Notes, and in general feel like I've seen a lot of media oriented towards like female sexuality. Like I've watched Bridgerton, I've seen Euphoria, I've seen Great British Bake Off. You know, all of these shows are delicious, you know, in their own way. But these are 800 page not novels that and I know for a fact that she had been reading them for about 3 weeks because it was all she could talk about for that time, and she had the third in the series, you know, like expertly placed on her lap, and I don't know if you guys did the math, but that is 100 pages a day of just like pounding, pounding, pounding fairy smut into your psyche for 3 weeks straight, and I'm like, girl, these are dick pics. Is it like you posting this? This is a dick pic. Like, I wouldn't be able to post a high angle 0.5 lens lap in clear view because you would see the outline of my apparently inadequate human but clearly hard dick in my pants. Yeah, and so after she read me a few excerpts, and I was like, okay, I have to see the person that wrote this. Like, it's like when someone cuts you off in traffic and then you see them in the light, you're like, I gotta see who made that decision. You know what I mean? And as you might expect, she's a pale-faced blonde woman who looks constantly flushed. Just like Kiki, who you will see later. who looks constantly flushed and has these like dark and piercing, like formerly of faith eyes.
You know, like they used to be beholden to religion, but are no longer, and are so horny about it. And I think another thing that we know is that, like, childhood trauma, people that experience childhood trauma tend to have very active imaginations and very non-vanilla sexual interests. Case in point, I am a child of divorce, and my mother died from cancer when I was a teenager, and I like to be choked from time to time. Not all the time. I'm still a sensitive boy, as we've established. I like to be called a good boy when I do a good job. And... when I'm by myself, I, not every time, but dabble in the odd, like, lewd cartoon comic. It's called Rule 34, if you aren't familiar. And they've got Lola Bunny. They've got The Simpsons. They've got the green M&M, obviously, with the old sexy shoes. All of the Pixar moms, all of them. Yeah, it's great. Rule 34, in case any of that piqued any of your interests. Very easy to find. Yeah, so as we've established, the formula is childhood trauma plus time, active imagination, non-vanilla sexual interests. I established this for myself. The formula is clear. I won't tell my friend's story. It's there. Plus time. Pounding, 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 pounding fantasy smut for 3 weeks. And more. I think the series has been finished now that I've checked in. And of course, the person that created this has something. Like, I looked at the author, certainly something. Plus time. Multi-million dollar smut series. Any guesses? That was rhetorical. Good. Yeah, only you guys are good at this. Orphan. She was an orphan. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. And that's it. I don't know how to end that joke yet. You guys.
Come step to you with a fresh pack of gum. If somehow I knew you were looking for some. Oh no!
You got a bit?
I have a bit.
Hit the
Sarah has a bit. I want to hear a Sarah bit.
You've been doing funny stuff, falling on your wrist, breaking it and shit.
I haven't even written about that yet.
Oh,
I have this thing. I'm trying to figure out how to flesh it out. I guess that's the whole point of this whole shebang.
Yeah.
So recently I got an Apple Watch. I'm not wearing it because I always forget to charge it, but that's a whole other story.
Guess you got to wear it in your other wrist.
For those wrist who can't joke. See us, I have a broken wrist. It's handy for tracking fitness goals.
Handy.
And setting reminders for myself because I have ADHD, so it's super great for that. And there's this whole thing. Anyone who has an Apple Watch knows, like, at the end of the day, you want to close your rings. And everyone's obsessed with their rings. And, like, one of the rings is your steps, and one of them is fitness, and then the other one's standing up and down, which I find so strange. But I don't know how they, like, I mean, I know how they track, like, a workout. Like, you can, like, say, like, I'm working out, and then it'll track your workout. But if you don't do that, it'll still track fitness. So I'm assuming that's by, like, heart rate and whatever else. And I think it would be really handy, no pun intended, if it tracked masturbation. Think of all the fitness girlies who are doing like 50 jumping jacks before they go to bed because they want to close their rings. Everyone's so obsessed with it. But if they just could like somehow track your sessions.
I mean, it kind of does.
No, it doesn't. I've tried.
I think you're wearing it on the wrong wrist,
no, that's
dear.
That's part of the joke. That's part of the joke. Listen, my dominant hand is out of order for 5 weeks.
Yeah, you're going to be you're doing fucked. Stranger technique.
Yeah.
She just grimaced as she realized that, I think, for the first
time. Oh, shit, yeah.
It's been realized. Anyways, I just think, I feel like there's a joke there. So that's the like premise is like, yeah, like I think all these fitness girlies are killing themselves, like trying to close their rings. And I'm like, if you could track just like length, like number of O's and like, just like things like that. Like I think.
Are, like, do you like, can it, I'm sure there's research that exists that could indicate what the actual fitness benefits of like orgasm and masturbation
are.
And like, I think that those kinds of things could be interesting.
How many calories you burn during sex?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. But
if
I also,
it, like, only obviously only if it is representative of to like compare to jumping jacks, you know?
Because like Apple would benefit. I mean, they want to collect all our data, and they would.
What if you like compared like holding a plank to like edging or something like that? Right? Like something where you're like kind of like doing something for a long time and it's a very like stationary kind of like you just have to like hold in one place and not move to edging or something.
Or like, and like I could think of more comparisons. And like one of my like punchlines I feel is like, not that I need more positive reinforcement than six back to back orgasms, it couldn't hurt to get some encouragement once in a while. Like I'm just it's a very like
it did some sort of fire, like you could describe how like fire, well it was Fitbit, right? It would fireworks would go off
true.
Or something.
Oh, no,
would
go nuts.
See, Apple Watch does that. When you close it, it goes like boo and it makes a little vibration. And you're like, not enough.
Like, what's like?
There should be
like
a better vibration.
What's like a horny little jingle it could do? You know?
Yeah.
Like,
ooh, true.
Like, what would like?
Or if like there was like
think of anything that's actually funny.
It'd be like a masturbation ring that was maybe like labia shaped, and if you
oh, that's fun. Like, there just like, needs to be something
progressively more engorged.
Like women deserve that. I think
I agree.
You know. So that's the premise.
I like it.
And that's
no, that's good.
Right.
No, no, that's got
legs.
It's fun. For sure.
Thanks.
I like that.
I've got a potential tag but then everyone just end up strapping it to their magic wands and closing all their rings immediately.
Okay.
I don't know if that's any funny.
Because I was like, that's part. I'm like, you could like.
And then Apple would be like, did you strap this to a vibrator?
I feel like you could
loud instead of loud environment, it's like muffled environment. Put your Fitbit up your Apple Watch up your pussy.
That's fun.
Muffled environment.
Like Yeah, because it's like you could log which toys you used and how long it took you to get there. Like, it could be science. Like, this could be
And it could, like, help you as well.
Yes.
Because, like, I feel like...
You got off more times with this one, not this one.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like a lot of...
Use the, like, satisfier instead of the, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
In my experience, there are a decent number of women that are not so familiar with themselves in that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what, with a vibrator?
That is true.
Just, like, in terms
in
of their own pleasure, you know?
A lot of women don't allow themselves that.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Perhaps the more intellectual.
If there was a camera, I'd be looking at it.
Formerly Christian, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they need more trauma.
Ladies, if you don't know how to masturbate, rule 34, fairy smut.
Or like being an only child with a lot of alone time.
Yeah. Exactly.
You guys aren't allowed to know
like
what Brooke
really
was
intense bedpost or something.
Or like something about like, I feel like
if
I could
you've got
add
a great
in like
pillow
a,
edge, you know?
Yeah, or like a washing machine, you know, like something that's like...
Fucking TV.
Oh yeah, like how was it discovered?
Toothbrush, I don't know.
Hairbrush.
I feel like even like talking about like the, I don't know, like...
Well,
like I do
not the, not the
I see what you mean.
You know what I mean. Yeah.
I've used a hairbrush.
Yeah. Wait, where?
On yourself.
Yeah.
Woo.
Okay.
Cool.
We'll unpack that later.
Not a Sharpie.
No. I don't know. We're really expanding on this right now. But like,
boy,
I also feel
we.
Like sometimes the way in which people discover masturbation is interesting. Mm-hmm. And so like the idea of like your Apple Watch teaching you how to masturbate is pretty funny.
Oh, that is good.
I'm gonna take that. Like there's the like meditation app where it's like breathe in and you follow the like things, right?
It's
and
like,
then you breathe.
Harder.
It can even like make suggestions of like where to go.
Do you feel that?
That's your clitoris.
That's funny. I'm stealing that.
Good. And that's why I'm happy. What I was curious about is like the way in which you could tell if like someone has found their clitoris is whether it would like cause any kind of spike in the vitals that like the Apple Watch collects.
Surely.
That mine did last night. Well,
the blood oxygen.
Did you just
down.
Does that feel a little nubby?
No!
Oh, come on!
Don't
oh, wait, it's gotta be like cute. Like, oh, we're like working it out.
No, you're right. No, I think this is all very helpful.
God.
Yeah, to have just like, I think
now
women.
Now peel back the hood.
God, no.
Hey, yeah. Hey, I'm surprised you guys are not impressed by my knowledge of the anatomy right
what
now.
What do you...
The bar is on the floor.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, really.
Forrest.
Are you looking for a cookie, Forrest? Because you're not getting one from us.
I've been trying to figure out a way to like indicate that like I'm fairly positive that Because, like, every time that I try to indicate that, like, I think that I am, like, a good person in bed to women, they're always like, are you sure? People
because
lie about that.
Every man ever thinks they're a good person.
I know. But I think I finally found the right words to describe it.
Oh, wow, I'm excited
okay,
about this.
And now, hold on.
Let's
now
have
I need
it live on the air.
Now I need to remember them. Oh, it's I don't usually.
Whoa.
I don't usually what?
No, you think about
usually,
it for a second.
A woman saying to a man,
I don't usually,
afterwards. Like, I almost feel bad saying this because I don't want women to, like, now know another way in which they... No, okay, never mind.
Wait a second. This is said...
come along for the ride a little bit, actually.
This is,
like,
said to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, this is said to me.
Oh, I don't usually squirt.
No,
I heard that. Wait.
No. I don't. No.
They, like, don't usually come. Is what he said.
Yeah,
I don't usually come, or I don't usually come that way, or I don't.
Right.
You know,
That's nice.
Yeah. Yes.
Good for you.
I think I do a great job.
That must be nice to hear. Compliments are lovely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I've slowly over weeks trained Brooke to be more supportive of me.
I'm trying really hard.
You're doing a great job.
You can't see my face, but my teeth are together. It's fine.
It's just hard to give any man an award for, like,
you're supposed to.
I understand.
That's so nice, but, like, that should be the standard.
I understand.
And it's...
I don't disagree.
That's why all women should fuck women, because they get it.
I agree.
So many women... I don't know. Maybe it's because I have been with so many girls that don't know themselves very well.
Mm.
But, like, they also don't... I don't know. They don't know how to... fuck back.
That's really sad.
Yeah.
I thank you.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
<for your loss. laughs>
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Have you considered that you're too good looking and that people are just, like, attracted to you who are also so good looking that neither of you have had to try?
Hot girls don't have to work hard. Not true. Not
you've
always.
Dated Why, you fucked a lot of
I've dated, No. I've dated people that are obviously more intellectual than they are physical, and I've dated people that are obviously more physical than they are intellectual. And the attractiveness on that spectrum has, like, varied in both directions.
Mm.
Hmm.
I've been with hot people that, like, know what they're doing, and I've been with not uggos. I've been with uggos as well that know what they're doing.
Fucking nerds.
Yeah.
I feel like we're massively generalizing anyways, but
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, well, yeah. Just like
everybody's
like,
got their thing, and
of course.
Also what you like, other people might not like, and you know, it's fair. I think at the end of the day, it's like, nobody who fucks for the first time is having the best sex of their lives.
Ooh,
like,
the,
it, you know, it takes practice, and it's getting to know
Christians. Listen
shit.
Up.
So, and any other feedback, any other tags or anything for Sarah
this before we move on?
What did you like of the feedback that you've heard so far?
Ooh,
where do you want to?
What did I write down? I liked the like Christian angle, or like the like women who don't know how to please themselves, let alone something else, and then like Apple Watch teaching them how to do that. Like that could be so. That would be a fucking best-selling app. Like, people would...
I think that's hilarious.
Go nuts. And then there would be a sexual revolution. Like, I think it could, like, snowball into, like... It'll be, like,
it's
the fucking
like
60s again. Yeah, it'll be, like, Hawktua times 10.
You'll get
10.
A snowball Hawktua.
And it'll all be thanks to me.
Yeah.
And it'll be great. Yeah, I think those are the, like, big takeaways.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Right away.
Yeah. No, this is good. I have a lot of things to snowball off. Whether or not I'll ever actually tell these jokes, you know...
You're going to.
You've already told them.
That's true. This
just
is
now,
a public forum.
Joe, do you have a scene?
Yeah.
Yeah. Should have said, I'd like to see a scene in which three good friends are talking about ways they've used technology in previously unimagined venues. For example, what Sarah was talking about with your Apple Watch teaching you to masturbate. Mm-hmm. But like maybe somebody has a smart ring forest that is teaching them something that they didn't realize it knew how to do.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah, maybe your phone has a hitherto unknown functionality that you've discovered in your day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm.
And Brooke, maybe your credit card, when it taps, it's taught you something.
Okay. This is a thinker. That's a real fucking thinker.
Yeah, like when you tap it to go on the TTC, you learn something.
You learn something.
So guys, next round's on me, okay? Like, it's been so long since we've all been able to get together. I know you've been so busy. You just like, you just finished that big project. You're like working through law school. I like, am. But like, it's so important that we get together and like connect, you know?
Yeah, like, this whole law school grind is pretty grueling. So I'm glad we were able to have this night.
I'm so glad you're going to be a maritime lawyer because like those seamen need you.
The seamen do need me. Yeah. And I mean, it's a lawless land out there. Just seamen flinging all over the place.
Kevin Costner and yeah. The water. That's all you got.
Water world. Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, how you doing?
I'm good. I just got this new, it's like an Apple Watch, but it's a ring that you wear, you know.
Ooh, so I haven't heard about this.
Like
tell me.
Yeah, it's kind of secret. Yes, ooh. Yes. It's like the, yes.
Like a Nuva like ring?
No, it's a ring you wear on your finger and it like tracks your vitals. It's a lot like a Fitbit, but it's a ring.
Which vitals what does it track? Do?
Yeah, it tracks your oxygen levels. It tracks your heart rate. It also tracks the level of semen that you have in your system.
Wow. So you and Cheryl still trying. Was it her idea that you get that?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. You know, we've seen a couple of doctors and they, you know.
Do you wear it around your finger or around your cock?
Well, yeah, so it's a good question.
That's why she's going to be a lawyer.
I'm a farmer. Yeah. You guys know this about me. Yeah. I'm a farmer.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I have
working in the field.
I got big farmer hands.
Yeah, and you need a lot of kids to work on that farm.
I got big sausage fingers and a teeny tiny penis.
No kids.
Classic.
Yeah.
And no kids yet.
Classic farmer.
So
yeah.
My finger is about
uncut
the same.
And still tiny.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, my finger's about the same length as my about the same girth, sorry, as my penis.
So your
and
your
it fits
ring
both
ring finger, baby finger, which finger were we?
They're all the same size.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know,
have you seen? Yeah, you've seen everything all at once. You know the hot.
I did.
Dog
I remember
people.
First year, and you know, like we tried it, and that you know, I'm glad we both like now we're friends. That's fine. Yeah.
Oh, that's sweet. Oh. I didn't know that about you too.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
So nice.
Thanks for bringing that up. I love thinking about that time.
I mean, we you know, first year was a blur.
You know?
I
I remember, you know. Was
never forget.
Okay. Anyways, so
I'm going to. Did you get mole looked at? It got bigger while we were, during that.
Yeah.
Know.
No, I got it looked at.
Yeah. What was the, you know, I've always wondered about that. I'm glad you're still here.
Thanks.
Did you get it removed?
No, I'm keeping an eye on it. I'm keeping tabs. It's really none of your.
It's not growing anymore. It was it was growing that whole time.
Wow. Yeah. No. I shrunk that fucker down with just like sheer will. You know.
Oh,
that's
wow.
why
yeah.
I went into the priesthood so I could like.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
like the clergy,
yeah.
the Anglican.
A lot of
church.
Yeah, a lot of people do thrash.
Yeah,
in
your
that
service last weekend was.
Oh, I give great service. Yes. Everyone loves my service.
I agree. Yeah.
Speaking of service, I'm going to like get us another round. I've got this great credit card and it's like,
yeah, let's get fucked up, priest.
Oh, wow. It's such an interesting color.
I know. It's like they call it, you know, there's the black card and the diamond or whatever, but this is special priestly card.
A holy
like,
one.
It's a holy card. It's blessed.
Cool. What does
like,
it do?
I mean, I'm not supposed to tell you guys, but like we go back so long. So it gets me into some places that I maybe shouldn't get into.
Oh, like what?
I'll be honest, like heaven.
Wait.
It's kind of like a pass.
You've been to heaven?
You've been there?
Yeah.
What is
I
it
go like?
Like
once a week.
Yeah. What is it
I
like?
I do Pilates there. It's great.
You do Pilates
that
in heaven?
Yeah. It's
like you have to exercise? In heaven?
Well, no, I just want to. Like, it feels good. Everything you do in heaven feels good.
Can you bring a friend?
You know what? Not supposed to, but...
Do you think I could get in?
I think I could probably pull a few strings, you know?
Okay.
Like, it's like a once-a-month thing. Like, you know, Albert did it, so...
All right.
See.
You know that what one of the benefits of this ring is constriction.
Right.
Length increase.
Uh-huh.
Stamina increase.
Those fingers really need that.
Yeah. I know you've sworn this off, but you must think about it, you know? I know priests.
I mean,
You have to bat it back, but...
I mean, I'm a lady priest, so, I mean, I get it sorted out.
Listen, guys, I was on my phone the other day.
Yeah, tell me.
And I know you went to heaven, and that's all cool and stuff. I mean,
it's not a competition.
I opened a portal to another dimension.
Stop. Whoa. Which one?
Well, I got there was a strange app on my phone that just like mysteriously appeared. So I decided to click it.
Of course.
And all of a sudden I was like in the fifth dimension and everything was spaghetti and it was really confusing, but really fucking sick. Yeah, it was cool. So heaven sounds fine, but I think my spaghetti dimension might take the cake.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was there sauce?
Only sauce.
And meatballs?
Well, yeah, I guess, not just only sauce. There's sauce, meatballs, some nudes, you know.
Like OnlyFans, but only sauce. I like
some it. Nudes.
Lost in sauce, baby. Yeah.
I will take you there. I'll take you to heaven if you take me to the spaghetti town.
Yeah, we can swim in the spaghetti.
Can you send me some nudes from the spaghetti dimension?
I will send you some noodles from the spaghetti.
Yeah, that's what I meant. That's what you meant, right?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Duh.
Yeah. N-O-O-D.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 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 I feel like seen.
Yeah. Yeah. Gonna take it
for a real good meal. Who has a bit?
I don't. It's very much a premise in early stage.
That's what we're doing here.
Okay, like it's just a thought that I had, and I think it might stem into something bigger. But I've been thinking about like passive aggressiveness lately.
Oh.
Wait, what does that mean? You fucking cocksucker.
Tell your bit.
Oh, because maybe I grew up in a very passive-aggressive household.
And inherited some of it, perhaps.
And maybe I'm trying to unravel some of those habits.
I'm so glad we're getting to talk about this.
Yeah, me too.
Also,
great.
The delivery is so passive-aggressive, it's perfect.
I know, this is great. It's good. I'm gonna kill my little brother. Oh, sucker. So I've been thinking about that because it is something that I'm trying to like understand about myself and unravel and do less of, because I know this might shock you, everyone, and for us.
Specifically for us.
But like, you know, my husband has maybe noticed that from time to time I can be passive aggressive.
Mm.
And that, again, that's just, this Husbands isn't a bit. This is just like me.
They point out your shit.
Oh, yeah, that's fucking great. Anyway, something I know, I feel like there's certain codes that are passive aggressive that we kind of wash away, that I'm always interested in like word choice, and like the one that comes to mind is like fair enough, which I feel like is something
I say, so
I say it too much.
Yeah,
I had an ex boyfriend's mom be like, that's so you to say that, fair enough. She like made fun of me.
It's something you say when you don't agree with
it's
someone.
So neutral.
It's like it's passive aggressive in its own way, because it's like you don't agree with someone.
Oh, I disagree. I think it's the most neutral way to just be like, fair enough. You're not agreeing.
No,
you're not disagreeing.
No, I think it's more like, I don't want to support you, but I don't want to like,
as
I don't
a straight
understand your
as a straight white man, the way in which I use it is when I'm presented with. When I'm trying to present
something you just don't want to have a perspective on, or you don't feel safe having a perspective on.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, exactly. Mm, yeah. So it's like when it's often when like I know my intention behind whatever I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
and
but
someone reacts
someone
to it in a way that
gonna...
I don't expect, mm-hmm. and obviously has aggression, or obviously has like more
passion
feeling
about
and passion tied up in what they're fighting against, and I don't necessarily feel representative of what they are fighting against, but I also maybe
neutralize.
Don't know them that well, or don't feel like getting into it, you
it's
know?
A very neutral response.
It's also a way to be like, all right, we're done talking about this.
Shut it down. That's...
I don't want to argue anymore.
I have learned that is a bit of a, there's nowhere to go from fair enough,
you know. Yeah. It's like it's very much like in the area of like improv with yes and, it's very much kind of like a can't mm-hmm. do anything with that.
Okay, you're right.
It's like,
it's a period.
So it is a period. So like maybe it's like not quite, it's like peri-passive aggressive, right? Like it's like on the peripheral
it
of it.
It feels like an important stage in the process, though. Like choosing to not respond.
Yeah.
Feels like an important lesson on the road towards genuine communication. Like if you're passive aggressive mm-hmm. and would perhaps respond defensively, like fair enough feels like a step towards effective communication, you know what I mean?
I disagree. Maybe it's because I'm on the receiving end of the fair enough, and it's
I thought you were
I did not
we were trying
oh,
to
you were, yeah, of course, yeah, no, of course, this makes so much sense.
We were trying to empathize with you.
No, but this makes so much sense. No, of course you represent the, of course the passive-aggressive person represents the person that needs to be said fair enough to.
Forrest and I are like, yeah, we say it all the time.
Oh my God, yeah, I don't feel passive-aggressive in the slightest.
When you say it?
No, like I don't feel like I orient myself with like passive aggression.
Interesting.
Yeah, me neither.
So interesting. No, I feel like it's like,
and I feel like I say it to people that
are passive aggressive.
Yeah.
Oh fuck, I might need to unpack this in like a therapy session. Damn.
Yeah, because a lot of, if someone starts getting like passive aggressive or like attuned, then
no.
I'm like, fair enough.
Okay, yeah. I understand that and I could see that, but like the examples I'm thinking of are where I'm just like, yeah, no, I guess I am having an opinion on something. This is making me realize these were me things, because I feel like I get really annoyed when people say good luck.
Oh, you need to... No, that's not funny. You need to unpack that.
So funny. Oh my
God. Luck is really nice.
No, I know that, but I think
there's a way to say good luck in which you are like...
I've had some...
Good luck.
Yeah, like in an audition room and someone's like... Good luck.
Oh, yeah.
Passive
Chris
aggressive.
Or, oh, fucking Christian. I'm from a very Catholic hometown, and people would be like, I'll pray for you. Like, when they would, like, have interactions.
Yeah.
Loved it.
I feel the same thing about, like, oh, I love that for you. Like, I love that for you.
I say that a lot earnestly, but I'm also realizing that people find it a little abrasive. But I'm like, no, I genuinely love that for you.
Yeah, so you think I'm a fucking idiot that dresses stupid and, like, does... Yeah.
No, I love it for you. I love it for you. I think it's great.
Yeah, but the unstated thing is, but if it were on me, I would hate it.
Right.
Yeah.
But no, sometimes I'm just... Yeah,
Brooke, take it away.
Yeah, Brooke, what's funny about this?
Yeah, keep going.
No, I mean, my thing with good luck is it's like, maybe it's because it's always said in a corporate setting, and I'm just like, no, I don't need luck. I'm competent. Like, just how about say you're going to kick ass? Like,
or break a leg,
that's
maybe
a perfectionist thing, though.
Is it?
Oh, I think so. Where you're just like, I don't need your luck. Like, I'm going to knock it out of the park.
Well, I just feel like I just think it's like, I'm interested in things that we say that we take for granted, like fair enough and like good luck, that we just say and become these like, kind of overwrought expressions.
Aphorisms or whatever?
Yeah. Without thinking about like, well, what's that like? It's kind of like, how are you doing without,
what does
like,
that actually mean?
Yeah, what's it actually mean? I guess is the more
so like, I've been trying to like find a way to like insert the line, or I don't know, I was like thinking of making it one of my dating prompts where it's like, I think that like all of my cynicism and existential like dread could be cured with just someone that can like hug really well. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, so correct me if I'm wrong, but you're saying that like you receive these kind of like dismissive phrases.
Yeah,
from people,
exactly. Yeah.
Right?
So, yeah. Feels just genuine. It just feels like you're not actually trying to understand, like, or you don't believe in me, or you don't want to.
Right.
You're saying this to diffuse so you don't have to actually engage with me. Fair enough.
I mean, there
like
is
a
difference.
Off.
Like, if you're having an argument, like hypothetically with like a partner, and you're like, I'm fucking pissed about this, and they just go, fair enough.
Oh no,
like, that's fucked
well
up.
But like I feel like the circumstances in which that would get said, I don't know, I feel like the circumstances in which fair enough would get said is when you're like not necessarily, I don't know, like you're not talking about like your relationship to the person that you're arguing with, or you're talking about like a topic that is like greater than whatever the interaction is that you're having. You know what I mean? Or like if the scope is suddenly increased,
it just feels
beyond
like
beyond like the two people.
Yeah,
I don't know, like this, I feel
is
like
not it's becoming a therapy session.
I feel like I say fair enough to people where I'm like,
fair enough.
I don't know where to begin.
Well, that's what I mean. I've noticed it's become like a common nomenclature, like a really like, you know,
it has
overused kind of way. And I feel like good luck is the same. People are just like, good luck. And I'm like, think about what you're saying. Like, you could say,
I feel like I have
you could
generally
choose to be like,
you're going
to
kill it. Yeah. Or like, yeah, I get
like,
what you mean.
Don't like, luck means like, luck is something, and then there's like competency.
I think there is a joke in that, like in the like, do you know what you're saying when you say this? Like, good luck. I get what you say.
I do think there's a very important reflection on the way in which the person who receives the fair enough could improve their ability to communicate whatever they need. Because I think that like the response, like I find myself, as a straight white man, I find myself saying that constantly, because I feel like I feel often that like certain things that are like bigger than me having the conversation I'm having with the person in front
you're, like,
of me.
Like not allowed to have more than just a fair enough.
Well, or just like I feel like I'm not necessarily given the benefit of the doubt with like a person that I have like a genuine emotional relationship with. That like I find myself like having like needs or interests or other things, again, in the context of one-on-one relationships with people that I care about and that obviously care about me, where where certain things that align themselves with stereotypical misogyny or stereotypical like things that can be attached to or at least like tangentially, whatever, like can be attached to. It's hard to, like, for lack of a better word, problematic behavior or, like, representations of, like, male-female relationships that, like, in reality are just nice. Like, Bill Burr tells an amazing joke about one time he was, like, he was doing some job in his garage for his family. And he was like, building something in the garage. He was, like, engaging in a very traditionally masculine act. He was providing acts of service. He wasn't indicating love by saying it. He wasn't providing physical touch. He wasn't doing anything like that. He was... building
service.
Something.
Yeah, showing,
he was building something like a man does. And we all know Bill Burr is very associated with masculinity.
Yeah.
And the joke is that his wife didn't talk to him, didn't say anything, didn't ask him what he wanted. She just made him a sandwich and brought it out to him in the garage with like a glass of lemonade.
Aww.
With ice in it. And she like cut it down. She cut it diagonally. And then he's like, diagonal means love, you know? Like, and she kissed me on the forehead. And then she went back inside.
Yeah.
And she said, you're probably hungry. And he's like, I still think about that sandwich. You know what I mean? Like, that's, like, that, and I've had that, like, I feel like I had that in, like, my first love relationship, where, like, we were, like, so caught up in, like, trying to not adhere to, like, gender norms or whatever, that sometimes the interaction between two people gets lost. Like, the interaction between two human beings that love each other gets lost.
Mm-hmm. You just wanted her to make you a sandwich.
yes, fair enough.
But no.
Honestly, thank you for delivering that. I feel like everyone will understand.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
So, should have said.
Oh, no.
Wait, no, I feel like there's more. Is there not more?
No, that's
but did you get anything?
No,
from
I
that?
Feel, just... no, like, that was helpful.
Okay,
also,
good.
The therapy part was like,
I feel like we got deep there.
I gotta call my therapist. It's cool.
So, should have said. We are having
Joe pitches a scene. I never know what to expect.
We are all at work, and we are having a conversation about some work topic, and the second sentence that we say is received in exactly the opposite meaning that we want it to be. Like it is taken as extremely negative, no matter what.
Cool.
The second
sentence.
Every person involved in the scene.
Yeah, all four of us.
Yes.
No, sorry. I meant every person involved in the scene, the second sentence that they say.
That they say is to the person that they're talking to.
Hey, Julie, how was your weekend?
That's a really weird question, Becky. Why would you ask me that?
Because it's Monday and...
Yeah, I don't really see how it's any of your business how my weekend was. Like, you know.
Yeah, like, have you heard of professionalism? Rebecca,
we're
in the workplace. Like, I'm not trying to mix business and like my personal life.
Daniel, we weren't even talking to you.
Yeah, but like this is an established norm within society. Businesses use this to exploit their employees.
Fair enough.
And scene.
Also, the one rule of improv is to not like say no, and you set us up with a say no negative.
Cause when our eyes did meet, girl, you know I was packing heat.
All right, Joe, do you have a bit?
Yep,
I do.
Joe,
have
it's your turn.
Yes. All right. Okay, this is more of a thing for a scene, but like I'll just do it and pretend, right? So by applause around here, who here works in tech? Oh, good. Yeah. Isn't it wonderful knowing that you're making the world worse?
Yeah.
I've worked in tech my entire life, and in fact, I've somehow failed my way up into management. I'm responsible for people's careers, like millions of dollars are controlled by my actions. The company might fail because of things that I do. And so the most stressful time in my life is when my mom FaceTimes me and asks why her printer's broken. And when she does, it's always like, Mom, I don't see what you see. All I see is the top of your head. Listen, take a picture and send me that picture. No, I know your printer's broken. You can text me the picture.
Like it would take 3 weeks to arrive at your house.
Snail mail.
Turn it off and turn it back on again.
Mm.
Not the FaceTime. Okay, that part. Obviously.
No, it's funny.
Okay, yeah. I think you need to do more. Can we pause already so we can
Yeah, please. That's actually where I wanted
to
end.
I think you need to do more act outs in it. I think, I like it a lot, but I think...
Physicality.
Can you be your mom and yourself?
Yeah. And more of a pause. There was a part where you were the misdirect was I have to fix my mom's printer. You're I do this, all this money depends on me. You're building up this thing. And I feel there needs to be probably because you're just reading it in the room, but if you were doing it on stage, I would say take a breath, give it a pause.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And then but my thing is I have to fix my mom's
printer. Yeah, I think acting out a conversation between two people.
Whether
involves,
you're holding a cell phone or whatever.
Or holding it with two hands at a weird angle, looking at the printer, you're like, can you see it? Or
Then when the FaceTime joke's funny, but it's you would hear a boop and then be like, no, not the FaceTime. It needs to be
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. It needs to be palpable.
I don't even know if you need to act her out. Because it might feel punchy down.
True.
If you just act out your reaction.
Yes. Oh. Take some pauses. Because healthy pauses can be good.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I like this.
The one-sided phone conversation is a device.
It's great. It works. Yeah, mm-hmm. There's definitely the thing where you could do both. But I think in this situation, because
Well, it already is that.
It already is
the one-sided phone conversation.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it was. Yeah.
Then do that. But truly just be on the phone.
Because you do an improv scene and you're in, when you get, I just feel as a note, if you're willing to accept it, in your stand-up, if you brought more of that physicality of acting out into it, it would be so engaging.
It comes naturally to you.
And honestly, that's the biggest problem I have in stand-up. I notice in my body now, after doing a bit of improv, that I'm in my head, I'm not in my body.
Yes.
And I need to get it out of my head and into
that's
my body.
That's why you gotta hammer the beats. You gotta know where the beats are.
It has to be off the cuff. I can't memorize the words. I have to memorize the points.
Yes. Yeah.
And then just flow from point
to
point.
That's acting 101. Mm. You don't want to be thinking about what you're saying. You're just saying it.
Yeah. Because I don't necessarily feel like I have... Well, I don't know. We could redo the lines and maybe I would have notes. But I do feel like all of them are sold and made more funny by your physicality.
Yes.
No, this is helpful. I sent my second set to a good friend who said basically it was good. The last, your closer was great because it was you. And I remember while being on stage,
you felt that.
I know this.
Yes.
I don't have to remember it. I can just do it. But I didn't realize it came across, but it felt different to me. And that's where I'm going. Right. That's where I want to
hold on to those feelings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Cause you definitely you see it when you're in an improv scene, you're so in your body and you're committed and it's bringing that commitment to your stand up too.
Yeah.
And trusting that you have that physicality and that reaction in your body.
You guys, this is such a supportive.
Yeah. This has been a beautiful episode.
I'm definitely going back to my therapist.
The line between comedy and therapy, it's just gossamer.
I know.
It's cheesecloth, really.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Sorry.
Punch right through it.
Cheese.
Sorry, I fucking hate it. It's okay.
Cheese eating.
It's not my thing, and that's
gross.
Because only you got a thing that I just got to get.
Thanks for listening to Shoulda Said. If you liked what you had to hear, we really appreciate if you could subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcast machine that you happen to use. If you really enjoyed it, tell a friend. And don't forget, review in iTunes. Remember, only 5-star reviews are allowed. Doesn't matter what you write in there, 5 stars. 5 stars and I wish you would die, totally fine. Thanks again. You'll hear from us soon. Cheers.
think her name's Deborah.
Corey. That was perfect, guys. Perfect pitch.